Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I was speaking to somebody who actually worked on the United Nations Security Council. And he was actually saying that the money, donor money for the United Nations, very, very seldom, very rarely, I think was a term that he used, gets to where it's meant to go. Oh, gosh. You know what? We take one step forward and we try and make a better world. What else can we do? You know, we got to live in hope. And people who, I think, have hope is, you know, maybe the people of Gaza. May Gaza rise like a phoenix from the ashes. You know, a beautiful, the gem, the jewel of the Middle East. Can you imagine this amazing zone, this economic zone, tourist zone that people want to go to? And it could change everything. But then again, there's a flip side of the coin. So let's have that conversation. Joining me is Yisrael Medad, educator, columnist, media analyst, and Yesha Resettler activist. Good morning, and how are you, Yisrael?
Good morning to you. Everything is fine with me. It's a little bit raining and chilly in Jerusalem.
Okay, well, how's the rainfall this year? Has it been good?
Not.
Oh,
that good, and actually those of us who go to synagogue quite often pray for rain every day.
Yes, us too, actually. It's the time of the year. Morida Geshem. Okay, so Yisrael, can we just talk about what will the takeover of Gaza by the United States mean for Gazans living there? What's your thought?
Well, let's take a step back.
Okay.
70% of the Gazan Arab residents define themselves as refugees. So in other words, according to their own self-definition, they don't belong there. So all their opposition about moving, even if temporarily, is just propaganda. The second thing is with a plan in place to economically revive the region, we don't need UNRWA, and we don't need U.S. aid, and we don't need European Union money. We need natural economic development that will probably turn them around and put them on a better path, a path of prosperity, hopefully, one of coexistence, and hopefully at the end, peace. Because the current situation for the past 70-odd years has been to keep them in a status of they want to go back and fight Israel. That's not going to happen. We've seen what Hamas has done, and we see what the destruction Israel has wreaked on Gaza because of the fighting. Hopefully, the population will realize they have a chance to better themselves.
So I've got so many questions around that, because my understanding of the population is that economically there's just not a lot happening, which means that people who live in Gaza are very much dependent on handouts, right, and charities. And we see, I mean, it's the area on Earth with the most hospitals per capita in the world. Donor funding is constantly going in. What the leadership don't steal, they build hospitals with, or, you know, they fund their people, but there's no way to work themselves up. Basically, I've got a 5-year-old in my brain who needs to understand things very simply. And when I look at that, I see that the Arabs in Gaza are basically a paid army just waiting. They're just waiting around. They're in this kind of oblivion. They can't go backwards. They can't go forwards. They have to follow the narrative of being a refugee. You've got cities and towns that are still referred to as refugee camps. And I actually partially blame the Israeli media for this, by the way, for perpetuating that, because it's not. A town is a town. You can't refer to it as a refugee camp. But what's in it for the people of Gaza when they are, if that's their role? Do you hear the question?
I hear it, and 2 points. quickly.
Yes.
One, what you're talking about is actually the economic oppression of the Gazan residents, keeping them in poverty, keeping them in handouts, and then saying, you know what you can do? You can join Hamas. You can join Islamic Jihad, because that's the only thing open to you. I want to remind you and our listening audience, of course, that up until 2005, there were Israeli residents in Gaza in the area mostly called Gush Katif.
Yes.
There were only 8,000 people, and they turned that area into an economic boom of agriculture and other small industries that proved that if people are given the opportunity, they can make a living there. But the other thing is that Egypt has never opened its border to Gaza. So these people are being kept in behind walls, behind wires, not only because of the security threat against Israel, but Egypt doesn't let them out. And according to the Trump plan, I think, the residents of Gaza will be given the chance to seek their independence, their individual independence, their economic independence, anywhere they want to go.
It's so interesting, because it's almost like they have been kept there in that state, the economic oppression, the everything, in order to keep perpetuating a narrative. Because the minute you have economic emancipation, people would rather be profitable. People would rather be able to raise their children and give their children a future and send their children to universities and have a life, and have a life of purpose beyond being a refugee and carrying the narrative for the whole Arab world. And what's the whole purpose of it? To get rid of Israel. I mean, it's mind-blowing.
They have been mobilized over the so many decades to form cadres of armed terrorists to fight Israel. That is the purpose of UNRWA. That is the purpose of USAID, unfortunately, keeping them locked up, keeping them locked down. And the only way they can get out, they understand, unfortunately, is to join Hamas, to join the terror. That's not going to happen. Israel is much stronger than that. And for their own sake, I think that Mr. Trump has an idea that at least, how should we say, opens up the opportunity for everybody here to try something else. For 70 more years, it hasn't worked. Let's try Trump for the next couple of years and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens. You know, I think that a big part of it is getting the rest of the Arab world all on board. I think that's very important. Very important. Okay, thank you very, very much. It's lovely speaking to you, Israel.
Thank you for listening.
That's Israel Madad. He's an educator, a columnist, a media analyst, and Yesha Resettler activist.